The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the last sermon, we saw in Abraham a faith that obeys without questioning, which is the kind of faith we all ought to possess. But is that really where we always start out? Is it not much more common that we question God initially, even though we may ultimately do what He says? Thankfully, we have the example of Sarah, who obeyed God only after questioning. While it's certainly more preferable and profitable for us to obey God without questioning, I'm so thankful that even when we do question, God doesn't throw us away. Instead, He shows us mercy and allows us to repent and still serve Him. Join us today as we see Sarah's faith, which obeyed God even though she initially questioned Him. Due to the length of the sermon, we will not have a song selection, but we'll go right into the message.
In Hebrews chapter 11, begin reading in verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, Sunday night, we dealt with this portion of this passage. And the idea here is that we saw Abraham obeying without questioning. And that's a good way to do it. He didn't question. He said, God said, Abraham, get out from where you've grown up, where you've lived all your life, and you go to a place I'm going to show you. And Abraham did it. Okay? Abraham did it. That's faith without questioning. Okay? But tonight, I want us to look at the next couple of verses. Here in verses 11 and 12, we see a little different kind of faith. Now, I understand faith, in one sense, is the same across the board. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and the exercise of that faith is always identified by just obeying God, okay? But notice what we read next in verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Here we see something a little different. You remember Abraham obeyed without questioning? Sarah, if those of you that are Bible readers know that Sarah did not initially accept, if you will, the promises of God in regard to her conception. We're going to turn over there in a minute. We're going to see that she laughed. One of the results of her laughter is that her very son was named Isaac, Yitzhak in Hebrew, which means to laugh. God, I think, just kind of reminded her all of the rest of her life, said, "You laughed when I told you you were going to have a child." Because there he is, laughter. That's his name, is laughter. But what we see in Sarah is something that's also fundamentally important to us, which is certainly we should always have faith and obey without questioning. But sometimes we don't do that, but we should still have faith and obey after questioning. And that's what we see in Sarah here, is faith that obeys after questioning. Now, you know the story there. We're going to be turning back to Genesis chapter 12 and 13 and then some other chapters in there, so you can get ready for that. But the idea here was, if you recall, Sarah was barren and couldn't have children. And ultimately, when God finally gave them a child, it was not only Sarah who had no ability to bear, but Abraham as well. That's a very important point that I think we're going to come back, that I hope we'll come back to before we're done here. And I'll just tell you the end of that, the point of that. God almost always does things where he will get all the glory, okay? He will get all the glory. You know why? Because the promise was made in Genesis chapter 12, and I don't know exactly how old Abraham was. I can't remember if it tells us there, quite frankly, or not. I should have, I've forgotten in my studies whether it does or not. But there in chapter 12, he said, "Abraham, leave, and I'm gonna give you a promise that you're going to have children like the sands of the seas, descendants like the sands of the seas or the stars in the sky." And yet, Abraham was 100 years old before the promise was finally fulfilled. And he was past the time of life where he could have children. So let's talk about that we see here in Sarah, because when I first read this, I kind of read through it and didn't think about it, but this is talking about Sarah's faith. We know Abraham was the father of the faithful, and we don't think of Sarah because there's several things she did that we're going to see that don't seem like faith. But yet it's Sarah's faith that God is boasting about here, if you will. So let's look at her initial faith. Back over in Genesis chapter 12, Sarah was the wife of Abraham. And if you remember, in chapter 12, God had said the end of chapter 11, God had told Abraham to get out of the land of Ur and to go to a land that he would show him. And in chapter 12, it says, "The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And here we see that at this point, Abram departed and Lot went with him. And at this time, he was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, I said earlier, I didn't remember exactly how old he was, or I didn't remember the Bible told us. It does not tell us how old Abraham was when God initially appeared to him in Ur. But we find out that he was 75 years old after his father finally died. If you remember, they'd gone halfway, basically. They'd gone to Haran, which is in the land of Iran. Today, and they had gone to this place with his father, and there they stayed. They got halfway to Canaan, so to speak, and they stopped. And it wasn't until his father died that God said, "Keep moving." And at that point, he was 75 years old. And we're going to see that promise doesn't happen for another 25 years. Now, I'm 56 years old, okay? My daughter, Ashley, turns 25 today. Okay. She probably thinks it took 50 years to get to age 25. I think it took about 2 years for her to get from a baby to age 25. You know, that's kind of the way it is now, right? But now when you're on the front end of that looking forward, it's different than when you're on the back end of it looking behind you, you see. When I was 25 years old, I thought 50 would never get here. 25 years was a long time. Now it's kind of shorter. You know, I'm thinking if the next 25 years passes as fast as the last 56 passed, I'm just about dead, you know. But the point is this, is that that promise was made when he was 75 and was not fulfilled until he was about 100 years old. But initially, Abraham and Sarah, with Abraham, she followed him. She went with him. She had faith in God. She had faith in God's institution of marriage. She followed him. And you say, well, we don't really read much about her. Turn with me over to 1 Peter for a second. Over in 1 Peter, we read a little bit about Sarah. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, he begins there. Peter begins there talking about the wives being in subjection to their husbands and describing their position in the home and their duties and so forth. And then he comes on down to verse 5 and he says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And the point he's making here is this. He's not making the point, men, that our wives ought to say Lord to us. But what he's making a point of is he's trying to tell us that Sarah had the faith that had faith in his commandments, in his institution of marriage, and in the way he set it up. And even though we don't read about her specifically over here in chapter 12, what we find is from putting Peter's writings together with that, she was faithful. She was faithful. She went along willingly. I'm sure she had questions. I'm sure she struggled with it. You know, nowadays, if a man were to say, "I'm going to pick up and move because God told me to," you know, what would happen? So many of the feminists of today would say, "You're not telling me what to do. You go if you want to, but I'm staying here." And instead, she said, "You know, I'm going to follow him as he follows God." That's what Sarah did. Sarah, her initial faith was strong. And by the way, let me just say this. Today, the very fact of a man and a woman getting married displays faith in God and his promises and in the way he set it up. But she was willing to do it like God said do it. She was willing to be in subjection to her husband, and she was willing to follow her husband because her husband was following God. And look, going back to Genesis chapter 12, what I just read to you there, understand that her faith, Sarah's participation, and her faith in this whole episode was indispensable. It was indispensable to the messianic promise. See, we sometimes think, you ladies, men, we think that the everyday things of life are just ho-hum, right? I mean, it's just, what does it matter if I'm really faithful or not? It really mattered that she was faithful because God had chosen Abraham to be the one through whom the Messiah would come. And he had not chosen some other woman to be his wife. He had chosen Sarah. We'll read about it over in Galatians, and we may turn there in a few minutes. But in Galatians, he tells us that the promise was to come not through the bondwoman, but through the free woman, which was Sarah. See, Sarah's faith was not just a matter of ritual. She was indispensable to the very lineage of Christ. And it's a total different, a total... other sermon to talk about all the barren women of the scriptures and how many of them were in the lineage of Christ. She was a barren woman. She could not bear children. And yet God eventually blessed her, opened her womb to do that. But she was indispensable to this lineage of Christ. And you know, we're going to see that they try to help God out over in Genesis chapter 16. We'll turn there in a minute. But this was not according to the promise. Over in the book of Galatians, we read about this. Using Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac as allegories of the two covenants. And just notice what it says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse, just for lack of time, we'll skip down to verse 30. But notice what he says down in verse 30. "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Sarah, you know, we ought to esteem Sarah very highly. I'm not talking about worship. I'm not talking about some kind of idol worship, but I'm talking about esteeming her highly as a faithful woman, because if we are children of faith, then we come sort of through her lineage. I don't mean the bloodline, but I'm talking about the faith line. The faith line that came through the father of the faithful. In a sense, she's the mother of the faithful. She's the mother of the faithful, okay? God said that it's not through the bondwoman. And we're going to look at that. We just need to go ahead, I think, now and look at that. It's not through the bondwoman, because see what the bondwoman represents, what Hagar represented was human efforts to affect God's promises. So look with me just for a minute. And we'll see here that we see Sarah's incomplete faith. Okay? Now this is where we're getting to the point that I want to make tonight. That it's important that we be obedient without questioning, but human nature being what it is, many times we're going to question, so it's also just as important that we become obedient after questioning. And after being faithless, we should exercise faith nonetheless. Back over in Genesis chapter 16, after many years, remember he was 75, and for many, many years, actually it was about 10 years, so Abraham would have been about 85 by this point. We're told that in verse 1, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, let me just stop you right there and also remind you of something else. I want you to tell me sometime after searching the scriptures what good thing ever came out of Egypt. Abram went down into Egypt, you remember? That's the first place he went. There was a famine. He went down into Egypt. He got in trouble down there. He lied. He had to lie to Pharaoh. I'm going to tell you, when you're dealing with the world, you're always going to be tempted to compromise. And he got down there, and not only did it turn Lot's mind in the wrong direction. Remember in the 13th chapter of Genesis, we read that Lot saw those well-watered plains down there near Sodom, and it reminded him of Egypt. When they came back in Genesis chapter 13, Lot saw those plains down there near Sodom, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom because he was remembering Egypt. But guess what else they brought out of Egypt? They brought this little bondwoman. They brought this little girl named Hagar, who was an Egyptian handmaid, and she didn't ever cause anything but trouble. Always was trouble. Sarah said unto Abram, back in Genesis 16:2, "Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now see what's happening here. God's already promised Abram that he would have a child, that it would be a child of his marriage and not an illegitimate child, if you will, of this handmaid. But he hasn't fulfilled that promise yet. And we're told here that verse 3, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Now, I don't know exactly how long it took Abram to go from Haran to Canaan. It probably took some months, if not a year. But it was at least 10 years later that this occurred. So Abram was about 85. Not sure how old Sarah was. We could calculate it if we had the time. Here's the problem. Now, this was a very reasonable, rational decision on her part. Her own barrenness, she says God restrained her. I suspect that was blaming God falsely, because it was more likely the results of the curse of sin on this world and upon her body. But be that as it may, her own barrenness led her to the logical and rational conclusion that we're just going to have to help God keep his promises. We're just going to have to do something, because it's just not working out like I think it ought to work out. That's the problem I have. I don't know about you. And that's one reason I can't get too mad at Sarah, because I see this in myself very, very much. God, you promised this, but I just don't see it happening. I'm just going to nudge it along a little bit. I'm just going to help it out just a little, okay? The problem with this is that when you do that and you get ahead of God and you try to help God out, there are always issues that arise. If you continue reading, you'll see that there arose problems between Sarah and her handmaid. The handmaid got lifted up in pride and began to act. You know, she got pregnant and Sarah couldn't, and she knew that she was carrying Abraham's son. And so she got lifted up in pride against her. And so ultimately, when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled out into the wilderness. And God appeared to her and said, go back. You're going to be, you know, this baby's going to live. And notice what he said, though, about this child. Verse 12, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Do you know who Ishmael's descendants are today? They're the Arabs. He's the father of the Arabic nations. What do we see going on right now in the Middle East? We see, these Arab terrorists are wild men. Their hand is against every man. And there's a constant struggle has been throughout the ages between Ishmael and Isaac, between the Arabs and the Jews. It's been a constant struggle. And we see that continuing today because of her faithlessness here and her trying to help God out. She caused problems that will not go away. And plus, going back over to Galatians sometime, you read that, we understand that what Ishmael represents is the results of human efforts, whereas what Isaac represents is the results of God's grace. You see, that's the allegory there. She doubted, she initially tried to help God out. And then, after all of that, and ultimately we see problems to where they had to be cast out. But before that, if you turn over to Genesis 18, we see that not only did she try initially to help God out, when God appeared on the scene in Genesis 18 to reinforce his promise, she initially doubted that God could help her out. She'd already tried to help God out because she didn't think God could help her out. In Genesis 18, again, she was very reasonable in her disbelief. She was barren and Abraham was old. But notice it says down in verse, God appeared to Abraham there and told him that he was, in verse 9, it says, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And you know what that tells me right there? 10 years earlier or so, when Sarah decided to send her little handmaid in to Abram's tent, Abram was still capable of fathering children. He was still capable of his own strength to have children. But notice right here what it says. 10 years later, when he's 99, I believe it is, he said, God said to him, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Not just Sarah, him. Notice what's happened here. Abram's body has deteriorated to the point where he's no longer capable of fathering children of his own efforts. There's no more question of helping God out. There's no more question of, well, God's not doing it in a timely enough way, so we got to do something. It's past that time, not only for Sarah, but also for Abraham, you see. And it says here, it says that I will return to thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And then notice, Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So not only is Abraham's body dead, Sarah's body's definitely dead. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She just kind of laughed, and I don't think it was a cheerful laugh. Yeah, I think it was a, God, you've missed the time. You've waited so long, Lord, that it's too late. It's too late. You ever been that way with God? I got to confess to you, I've been that way sometimes. It's like, Lord, I thought surely that you were going to fix this problem. I thought surely that by now this would be, this issue would be settled. And it's not settled. And because it's not settled, I may laugh in bitterness in my heart and say, is it really going to work out now? Is it really going to happen now? And that's what she's doing. She's not having a joke moment. She's having a bitterness moment. But notice what God said in verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? And then he asked that rhetorical question that's one of the best rhetorical questions we can ever ask ourselves. He's not looking for an answer here. He knows you already know the answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, understand where we are here. God, as I said earlier, is going to do things in such a way that he gets the most glory. As a matter of fact, in my experience, he's going to do things in such a way that he gets all the glory. There's a lot of things I've participated in revival and that sort of thing at this church and other churches that I'm thankful to be part of, but I look at it and see where I nearly messed it up, or I did mess it up, but God overcame it, you see. Here we have God who has waited until it's absolutely too late for a man and a woman, this man and this woman, to have a baby, and yet God gives them a baby. Now, she doesn't believe it at first. She doesn't believe it. She laughs about it. But as I said earlier, God gets the last laugh. God gets the last laugh. And the last laugh, I believe, for God was he said, you're going to have a child. And not only are you going to have a child, you're going to call him Isaac. You're going to call him laughter. Sarah, you're going to remember this for the rest of your life. Every time you look at your son, you're going to think of this day when you laughed in your tent because you didn't think I could do this, and you're going to remember that. And I believe this is the inception of Sarah's return to faith after her incomplete obedience. And I believe from this point forward, we see that she ultimately accepts that God would indeed stand by his promises. And we know this partly from back over in Hebrews chapter 11. Because remember what it says. For through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah didn't have to wait until the baby was born to become faithful. I believe beginning at this point when God asks her that question and reminds her that he is, there's nothing too hard for God. I believe from this point forward, she began to exercise faith. We know it because he says here it was through faith. And you see what happened, not to get too detailed about it, but what happened was this was not a miraculous conception like the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that the child just appeared in her womb. This child was conceived through natural efforts. It was a miraculous conception in the sense that God restored unto them the time of life, but she participated and Abraham participated in that through faith, you see. Through faith, Sarah conceived. She didn't just write it off. And listen, before we get too hard on Sarah, go back to the 17th chapter of Genesis and remember, Abraham laughed. Abraham, he eventually laughed about it too. Now look over in Genesis chapter 21 for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, we read this, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And I'll say this to you, child of God, that will be your testimony, whether you believe it or not, whether we act in faith or not. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. It says, the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. In God's own timing he did it. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Notice he points out, Sarah. Sarah bare it to him. Sarah conceived. Sarah bare it. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. In verse 6, does it say Sarah kept laughing, or that Sarah laughed in bitterness? It doesn't say Sarah was sarcastic. It doesn't say Sarah was cynical. Notice what God did. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. I like that because, you know, Sarah made herself to laugh the first time. She laughed in bitterness. She laughed in disbelief. She said, you know, God hath made me to laugh. I think she's saying that with a wry grin on her face, remembering the time when she laughed at God's promise. But Sarah said, now God's made me. God has taken my laughter, my disbelief, and he has shown me what a great God. He has shown me there is nothing too hard for him. She said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. This is not the same cynical Sarah that we read about in Genesis chapter 18. This is a different Sarah. This is a faithful Sarah. This is a Sarah who, I believe, reading scripture against scripture, beginning there in Genesis 18, began to come back to the faith that she had initially when she went out with her husband Abraham. She's got a different attitude now. She's got the attitude of, I may have laughed in the past at God, but now I want you all to laugh with me about the goodness of God. Look at what God has done. Look at what he has opened my womb. He has restored my husband to the time of life. And I believe if you sat down and talked with her, she would say, you know, there's a great promise coming through this baby. This is a child of promise. This is a child that something great is coming. I don't understand it all. I don't know about it all. But the gospel was preached to her, and she believed it. She became a believer in the gospel. You know what the gospel was then? According to Genesis, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, the gospel was preached unto Abraham when God said, through thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that's what God had said to him. And it was through Isaac, not through Ishmael, not through human efforts, not through helping out God, but through accepting God's promises at their face value. She said, who would have said that unto Abraham, that Sarah, that me, who would have ever said that I would be nursing a child, and yet I have borne a child in his old age? So what about this eventual obedience, which is what we see here? It's not initial obedience. I mean, she was faithful initially, but then she fell away. And when God said, I'm going to give you a child, she was not faithful. So what about that? What is she? Is it over for her? Is it just, did we write it? Do you write yourself off when you don't believe God at first? We won't turn there tonight, but you can turn and read it sometime about those two sons over in Matthew chapter 21, beginning about verse 28. There were two sons of this man, and he said to them, you go work in the field. And the first son said, I'm not going. But eventually, he changed his mind and went. The second son said, yeah, I'll go. But he didn't go. He said, which one of those was more obedient? Well, we know the answer to that is the one that said initially he wasn't going to go, but eventually he did go. Eventual obedience is the kind of obedience that we run into most of the time, and at least in my experience. We ought to initially obey, but we ought to always eventually obey. That's what Sarah had. That's what she did. Could you see, God is always working behind the scenes, sometimes in a more overt way, sometimes in a more subtle way. But the ultimate reason for God tarrying so long in delivering on this promise was that he was waiting until he would get all the glory for it. He was waiting till Abraham's body was as good as dead. Remember back over in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what it says in verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. See, the ultimate reason for God tarrying is that he was going to show Abraham and Sarah and all of us that he can do miracles when natural means fail. Abraham was as good as dead. Sarah was as good as dead. But God can work with the dead. God can give life back to the dead. See, I live in this place. I think maybe you understand this too. I live in that area sometimes where I question God on the one hand, but I ultimately try to go back and serve him on the other. I'm like the father of the child that cried out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, that's okay. Let me make sure I clarify that and you understand. We ought not to say that. We ought never be unbelievers. But I challenge anybody here to be a believer 100% or even 99% of the time. I struggle with it every day. This is where I live most every day. So, if we initially refuse, if we initially don't obey, if we initially don't have faith, it's not over, child of God. It's not the end. Like Sarah, we can pick up where we are, and God can pick up the pieces, and we can still serve Him. And that's the eventual faith. That's the obedience after questioning that we read about when we come to Sarah. And I believe God included that here to encourage us because He knew that's where we would be most of the time.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.